All right, everyone, let's dive into something I'm sure you deal with every single day. Ontario's minimum maintenance standards for municipal highways.
Yeah.
I know you're all familiar with the basics already.
Right.
But today, we're going deeper.
Beyond the surface.
Yeah, beyond the surface level.
Absolutely.
Into OREG 23902.
OREG 23902.
All those little details that make a difference out in the field.
The stuff most people overlook.
You know, those minimum requirements that help protect the municipality if something happens.
Yeah, that's right.
Making sure we're all on the same page about what reasonable means when it comes to keeping our roads safe, legally speaking.
Absolutely.
So we're not talking about achieving perfect roads here.
No, no.
It's more about having that legal safety net.
Legal safety net.
To defend the city if, well, you know, if something goes wrong.
Right.
So this isn't about how to fix a pothole, for example. It's about how long you have to address it.
That's a good way to put it.
So for all the public works folks out there, whether you're managing crews or out on the front lines, this one's for you.
Big time.
We're splitting this deep dive into two main parts.
Okay.
Patrols.
Patrols.
And weather events.
Yeah. The big two.
Let's start with patrols.
Right.
You're the eyes and ears out there.
That's right.
The first line of defense. Finding problems before they become, well, problems.
Exactly.
Before they become lawsuits.
Lawsuits, yep.
So how specific does the regulation get when it comes to those patrols?
Oh, it gets very specific.
Okay.
Table patrolling frequency, it lays it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty interesting how it changes based on what type of highway we're talking about.
So give us an example.
All right, so class one highways, those are your busy high-speed roads.
Right, high traffic.
High stakes, yeah.
Lots of potential for something to go wrong.
Exactly.
So more frequent patrols.
Three patrols every 7 days.
Wow, almost every other day.
Yeah, you got to stay on top of it.
Makes sense though, right?
Yeah.
You want to catch those issues early.
Absolutely, before they become major hazards.
So high traffic roads, frequent patrols.
Right.
What about the less busy roads?
Well, take class five highways, for example.
Okay.
Those are generally a lot quieter, less traffic.
So I'm guessing less frequent patrols.
Once every 30 days.
Okay, so a much more relaxed schedule.
Yeah, the risks are lower.
So you're out on patrol.
Right.
What are you actually looking for?
Well, the standards cover a pretty wide range of things.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, snow and ice.
Right.
But it goes beyond that.
Okay.
Potholes, shoulder drop-offs, cracks in the pavement, debris.
Right.
Anything that could be a hazard for drivers, really.
So those patrols, they're really our first line of defense, both for safety and to keep the city from getting sued.
Absolutely.
The more you catch early on, the better off everyone is.
For sure.
Now, you mentioned we'd be focusing on patrols and weather events.
Right.
Is there anything in the MMS that falls outside those two categories?
You know, there are a few specific things that don't fit neatly under those regular patrol frequencies because they're directly related to weather events.
All right. So things get a bit trickier when Mother Nature decides to join the party.
You could say that.
But we'll save that for part two.
Let's keep everyone in suspense.
Okay. For now, we're still on patrols.
Right.
Have you ever been out on patrol and come across something that just didn't feel right?
Oh, yeah.
Even if it technically met the minimum standard.
All the time. Sometimes you just get that feeling.
Yeah, that gut feeling that something needs attention.
Exactly.
Even if it technically checks all the boxes.
You got to trust your instincts.
For sure. But that's a whole other conversation.
Right.
For now, let's shift gears to those weather events you mentioned.
Right.
Because I have a feeling this is where things get a little complicated.
Yeah, weather can definitely throw a wrench into things.
Especially when it comes to interpreting those minimum standards.
Absolutely.
So let's start with the basics.
Okay.
What exactly makes a weather event significant, according to the regulation?
Good question.
Is it just a fancy way of saying, like, really bad weather?
It's a little more nuanced than that.
Okay.
It's not just about how much snow or ice is on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the potential for things to go wrong.
Right. The risk factor.
Exactly. And that's usually based on Environment Canada's alert criteria.
So if Environment Canada issues a warning that meets certain criteria,
mm-hmm.
That's when the city steps in and makes the call.
Right. The municipality ultimately decides when to declare a significant weather event.
And that declaration changes everything, doesn't it?
Well, it does, yeah.
Response times, liability, even how we interpret those minimum standards.
It all shifts.
Wow. So there's a lot riding on that decision.
There is a lot of responsibility on the city to make that call.
It's not just about reacting to the weather. It's about assessing the risk.
Right. Anticipating what could happen.
And then making a judgment call that could have major legal implications down the road.
Absolutely. And once they make that declaration,
mm-hmm.
communication is key.
Right. Got to get the word out.
Websites, social media, press releases, local media.
So it's not enough to just make the declaration. They have to shout it from the rooftops.
Pretty much got to make sure everyone knows what's going on.
Because that affects how the minimum standards are applied.
Exactly.
All right. So let's say the city declares a significant weather event.
Okay.
How does that actually affect those minimum standards?
Well, let's take snow accumulation on roadways as an example.
Okay, good one.
During a significant weather event, you still have to deploy your resources as quickly as possible.
Right. Can't just sit back and wait for it to pass.
Exactly. Gotta make every reasonable effort to clear the snow.
Mm-hmm.
But those specific timelines outlined in table snow accumulation roadways, they're relaxed a bit.
Well, so even if we're technically following the rules in terms of effort,
mm-hmm.
could we still be held liable if, say, an accident happens on a road that hasn't been fully cleared?
That's a good question, and it really highlights the importance of documentation. Yeah. As long as the municipality can show they were actively monitoring the weather, that they deployed their resources appropriately,
right,
and that they were continuously trying to address the situation, they'd have a strong defense.
So it's all about showing that reasonable care was taken.
Exactly, given the circumstances.
Right, because we can't control the weather.
Nope.
But we can control how we respond to it.
And how well we document that response.
So let's say the snow finally stops.
Right.
The storm passes.
Mm-hmm.
City lifts the significant weather event declaration.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then?
Then those timelines in the table, they kick back in.
Oh boy, and some of those deadlines are tight, aren't they?
They are. Some of them are really tight.
Okay, give me an example.
How tight are we talking?
Yeah, like how much time do we actually have?
So picture this.
All right, I'm picturing it.
A class one roadway.
Okay, busy road.
Lots of traffic.
The high speed.
Needs to be cleared down to 2.5 centimeters within 4 hours of the snow stopping.
4 hours?
4 hours.
Wow, that's not a lot of time.
It's a tight turnaround, especially if you're dealing with a major snowfall across the entire city.
Yeah, talk about pressure.
It's all about prioritizing those higher class roadways during and after a snow event.
Right. Gotta focus on the busiest roads first.
Might have to delay work on lower class roads to meet those deadlines.
It's all about managing resources and risks effectively.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about snow.
Mm-hmm.
What about ice?
Ice.
Does the MMS approach ice formation any differently?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Like snow removal, there's a big emphasis on being proactive.
Right, staying ahead of the game.
Table one, ice formation prevention, it outlines the steps.
Okay.
Monitoring the weather forecasts,
mm-hmm.
conducting those regular patrols.
Right, those are key.
And this is the big one.
Okay, I'm listening.
Pre-treating roads with salt or other materials if ice formation is likely.
So if we know freezing rain is in the forecast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We got to get out there and pre-treat those roads.
Absolutely. It's critical to minimizing ice buildup.
And preventing potential hazards.
Right.
But let's be realistic. Even with pre-treatment,
yeah,
sometimes ice still forms.
It happens.
So what then?
That's where Table 2 comes in.
Okay.
Treatment of icy roadways.
Right.
It outlines specific timelines for addressing ice once it's formed.
Just like with snow.
Mm-hmm.
Those timelines depend on the classification of the highway.
Exactly. The higher the traffic volume and speed limit,
the faster we have to respond.
Right. Got to prioritize those high-risk roads.
Okay, we've covered roadways pretty extensively.
Yeah, we've been through a lot.
But what about sidewalks?
Sidewalks? Good point.
They have their own unique challenges.
Definitely.
Especially during winter.
Especially in Ontario winters.
So how does the MMS address those?
So sidewalks, they're a different story.
Okay.
They don't require the same constant monitoring as roadways.
Mm-hmm.
But the MMS does lay out specific standards for snow accumulation and ice on sidewalks.
So are those standards more relaxed than what we've talked about for roadways?
In some ways, yes.
Oh.
For example, sidewalk patrolling is only required if significant snow or ice is anticipated.
Right. So no need to check them every day.
Unless the weather calls for it.
Makes sense. Sidewalks generally see less traffic than roadways.
Right, less foot traffic.
So it's logical that the patrolling requirements would be a bit more relaxed.
Yeah, the risks are lower.
But what about the standards for snow and ice removal?
They are similar to roadways in that there are specific timelines for clearing snow and treating ice.
Okay.
But those timelines are generally more lenient than those for roadways.
So we have a bit more breathing room.
A little bit more, yeah.
And here's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
The MMS actually allows for a bit more leeway when it comes to surface discontinuities on sidewalks.
Surface discontinuities, now those are fun.
What are those, exactly?
You know those little raised utility covers on sidewalks?
Yeah, except those things.
Those are surface discontinuities.
Right, I always trip over those.
And according to the MMS, we can let those slide as long as they're not more than 2 centimeters high.
So it's a good thing those don't fall under the same strict standards as a pothole on a roadway?
Exactly. Different rules for different surfaces.
Okay, so we've covered patrols, snow, ice.
Check and check.
Even those pesky utility covers.
Those always get you.
But what happens when, despite our best efforts, we just can't meet those minimum standards?
Interesting question.
Like, let's say we have a massive blizzard.
Okay.
And it's just too dangerous to send crews out to clear the roads or sidewalks.
Well, I'll see you first.
What options does the city have in that kind of extreme situation?
That's where the city can actually close a highway.
Right. Closing a highway, that's like the ultimate protection.
It is, yeah, from a legal standpoint anyway.
But I bet there's a specific process they have to follow.
Oh, absolutely. The municipality can definitely close highways when they need to.
Okay.
But they have to make sure everyone knows about it.
Right. Got to get the word out.
Exactly. Think road signs, barricades, announcements on the website, and social media.
Local media too, right?
Oh, yeah. Anything and everything they can do to let people know that the road is closed.
It's like they have to treat it like a major public safety announcement.
Exactly. Getting that information out there clearly is critical.
Because if people don't know the road is closed,
right,
that's when accidents happen.
Exactly. It can create a lot of confusion and put people at risk.
So a well-communicated closure, that's key.
It protects everyone, the city, and the public.
This has been a really interesting look at Ontario's minimum maintenance standards.
It's a fascinating topic.
We've covered a lot.
We have, from patrols to weather events.
Even highway closures.
It's a lot to take in.
Hopefully this has given everyone a better understanding of these standards.
Yeah.
And how they apply to your work out in the field.
Remember, this is just a starting point.
Right. There's always more to learn.
The MMS is a complex document. I encourage everyone to grab a copy of OREG 23902.
Yeah. Do your homework.
And really get to know the parts that are relevant to your job.
Because knowledge is power, especially when it comes to legal stuff.
Absolutely. Don't just rely on this overview.
Right. Get into the details.
It's important for your job, and it could even help protect the city if something goes wrong.
Now, here's something to think about.
All right. I like this part.
We've talked a lot about meeting those minimum standards.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when something, even if it meets the standards, still feels unsafe?
That's a good question.
Where do we draw the line between just meeting the requirements and actually doing what's right?
Right. Because sometimes doing the right thing means going above and beyond.
Exactly. It's about using your judgment.
Absolutely.
And making sure you're prioritizing safety.
Always.
So as you head back out there.
All right, everyone. Back to work.
Remember that the MMS is a tool. It's a guide.
It's a starting point.
But it's your commitment to safety, your dedication to doing the right thing.
That makes all the difference.
That's what really matters at the end of the day.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Keep learning, keep asking questions, keep pushing to make our city's roads and sidewalks safer for everyone.
Well said. That pretty much wraps up our deep dive into Ontario's minimum maintenance standards.
Until next time, everyone stay safe out there. And remember, knowledge is your best defense.